speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
Continue our series of lessons on building blocks for the home, home fundamentals. We need those fundamentals because actually that's where the maturity comes from, in the home. You know, it's a wonderful thing to see two people who have enjoyed the blessings of each other's company for many years, who have grown older together, who have enjoyed the blessings of being married and having the help each one is able to give. But there are some who don't seem to know how that foundational fact works or how the blocks of the building blocks ought to be placed in place. But at any rate, it's important for us to have these facts in mind and to have them before us, because if we can correct the things that are wrong in our lives, we can make our situation better, we can make our relationships better, and after all, that's what happiness is the result of. So as we think along this line, we remember Genesis 2:18. God saw that it wasn't good for man to be alone, and God made for man a helpmeet. That was one of his own nature, his condition, and his needs were all met in woman. Woman, then, is to be honored by man. Woman came out of man, and not man from woman. Woman was made for man, and not man for woman. And so until we realize those conditions and perceptions, we'll not have the peace and the harmony in the home that we ought to have. Hebrews 13:4 continues to say, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but the whoremonger and the adulterer God will judge. We have no doubt that that is true. We have no doubt that that is something we need to guard against. But husbands, of course, are important in the home. Wives are important in the home. The sanctity of marriage is important. And as we go along these thoughts, the home is compared, of course, to one's love and respect for the church in Ephesians 5. Love and respect for the church ought to be very high. Love and respect for our homes ought to be very high. We ought to have love for each other, respect for each other, and if it's not there, it's going to be a miserable existence. When you get ready to marry, be sure and marry someone you love, but also someone you like. And be sure that you marry that one that you like because you trust her or him. Be sure that you marry that one because you respect him or her. If you don't love and respect and trust the one you marry, you're going to have an awful time through life. You will buy yourself more misery than you ever thought possible. So, as we think about these things, the home and marriage are to be a loving combination. They're to be undefiled by sin. They are indeed God-ordained, and this blessed relationship is ordered by God, and for man's best interest in his eternal welfare, he needs to study what God says about marriage. The foundation facts about marriage are so important. We simply do not read in the Bible instructions that lead us astray. But all Scripture inspired of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. I would like to say so many things more this morning, but I know if I don't get into these 10 things, we will not be done by the time our time is gone. So when we talk about the home, there are surveys that tell what husbands often say as difficulties with their wives. There's surveys that also tell us what wives say about difficulties with their husbands. So when we learn about these things, even though these are frequent complaints, they should not remain complaints. They ought to be taken care of. We need to see to it that we remove these difficulties and the blocks that may block our love for each other from our view. What should be our attitude is found in the Bible. And when we find what the Bible says about a matter, it's true and cannot be wrong. So when we talk about this, the survey says, well, first of all, that husband's first complaint is, the wife nags me. The wife nags me. That means she complains, she murmurs about what he does. She's not happy with his life. You know, Solomon had 1,000 wives, and I've often wondered how in the world he got along with that many ladies. But he had 1,000 wives. Now, if he had that many, and they did nag him at times, but how do you suppose it would be for him if it's that way with us? We need to realize that he had a lot more problems than we do. But in Proverbs 21:9, he said, it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Now, that's true, isn't it? We don't want a brawling woman in a wide house or a narrow house. Proverbs 27:15, it said, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. They are continually nagging. So when you think about that, ladies, it's certainly something you should not do. Proverbs 21:19, he said, it's better to dwell in a desert land than with a contentious and fretful woman. Well, we don't have to be that way. We make our own plans for that, don't we? And a dripping faucet soon wears away at our nerves, doesn't it? Proverbs 19:13, he said, the continuation of the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. If that be true, then, wives, you're not going to make any progress by nagging. It's not going to do any good. You cannot change the other person. You can change yourself. But you really can't change the other person, and to nag and to nag and to nag will soon bring you a disruption in your marriage. It's going to cause problems that you cannot overcome. It'll get you nowhere real fast. And so when you think about that, you can change yourself, but you can't change another. Remember, too, the husband's still the head. And if you think nagging is going to change that, you're completely wrong about that. Two heads won't work. That'll either be a monstrosity or a freak, and it just will not work that way. But this is the first complaint that husbands make against their wives. Second of all, in this survey, the wife is not affectionate. In other words, she's cold and unresponsive to the husband. Well, men, we need to stop and ask why that's happening. Oftentimes, we ignore the signs that come, and we don't ask why. We don't try to find out what's wrong. There's something wrong because it's not normal for that one whom we love and trust to be unresponsive. So ask her, not in the time when you're having a quarrel, but in a quiet moment. Ask her, what is the trouble? What is the cause of our problems here? You know, we may need to ask, really, not what's wrong with her, but what's wrong with us? What's wrong that she is not more responsive to us? So it's important that we clear away the problem that hinders our close relationship. And hinder means to break up the bridge, and that's what we do. We break up the bridge of a smooth and enjoyable relationship. Song of Solomon says in the 2nd chapter, verse 15, take us the foxes, the little foxes. They spoil the vineyards, for our vineyards are in blossom. Now, Solomon was talking about love. Our blossoms are our vineyards are in blossom. He's talking about love blossoming. So he said, take the little foxes. Now, what do the little foxes do? Well, in a vineyard, they cause problems. And so here we need to check out these little foxes that are going to cause some problems and difficulties in our marriage. Clear away anything he's saying here that can injure this relationship. You remember that song, Little Things Mean a Lot? Well, it's still true. Little things do mean a lot. In Zechariah 4:10, he said, who hath despised the day of small things? Wives, small things mean a lot. So don't nag, and always try to find out what's wrong if it is needful, that your affection is not as it should be. The survey also says that wives say husbands say that wives are selfish and inconsiderate. Well, both of these are negatives. If you're selfish, self-centered, inconsiderate, that's wrong. It's condemned throughout the Bible. And we're not talking facetiously here. It is indeed condemned. You cannot do that and be a Christian. And especially not with your mate. In Luke 9:23, Jesus said unto them, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. Is there anything that you have denied yourself of, taking up your cross and following him? And being what you ought to be towards your husband. You know who started that, don't you? Eve did. She was the first one that started to be selfish and inconsiderate. And she partook of the forbidden fruit. And then she led Adam into doing the same thing. Women have a great power over man. And God disapproved of what Eve did. And of course, man was held responsible for what she did. And so men have a right to say, the woman is selfish, she's inconsiderate, if she is. And you know, in marriage, always having our own way just won't work. That won't work for the wives, it won't work for the husbands. And if your husband or your wife think that you're inconsiderate and self-centered and selfish, then you need to make some corrections of that. Ladies, remember, woman is made for a man, not man for woman. Be giving and considerate in your home, and it will pay you great dividends that you never will find otherwise. For fourth of all, the husbands say the wife complains too much. She complains too much. Well, question might be offered here, are her complaints legitimate? Is it a complaint that maybe you could do something about? If it is, then hurriedly do something about it. Communication is the key, isn't it? Don't forget to talk to your mate. You know what it said in Ephesians 4, let not the sun go down on your wrath. And that's pointing us toward talking out our problems before the sun sets in the evening. It's the answer to most problems in marriage. Did you know it? Conversation, communication. A man told me years ago, he said, son, let me give you a little piece of advice that's worked for my wife and I, and it'll work for you and your wife. He was a car salesman. I don't know how come this to come up. But he knew I was a young man, not been married too long, and he gave me a wonderful piece of advice. He said, my wife and I have met at 5 o'clock every day since we married for coffee. And he said, that's every day. We have a date. We meet at 5 o'clock every day. I want to know about her day. She wants to know about mine. And you know what? It works. Maggie and I have made a practice of that for many years. Yes, it is true that complaints can be cleared out of the way right there. Communication is the key. If you close off communication, you're not going to be able to settle anything. But much more important than just talking is listening. Men, we need to listen. Women, you need to listen. You need to find out that marriage is sharing of common things. And we're to share thoughts, and we're to share plans, and we're to share feelings, and we're to share intentions. And you know nobody's a mind reader. You can't tell what he's thinking. She can't tell what you're thinking, gentlemen. And you can't tell what she's thinking. It may be completely opposite of what you're thinking. Nobody's a mind reader. Sit down and talk about it. And then that wife complaining too much may go away. You know, marital happiness is necessary for communication to be there. And life is too short not to be happy, isn't it? We must move on. Number 5, the wife interferes with my hobbies, some husbands say. The wife interferes with my hobbies. Now, that's a complaint. And this complaint, of course, may be good, it may be bad. But that's a complaint. Wives, you need to know about that. That you may interfere with his hobbies. Now, all need a hobby. There's no doubt about that. It is a distraction from the norm, and it's good. But it could be that your hobby may interfere with your wife's needs. Or it may be that your wife's hobby interferes with your needs. But if the wife interferes with his hobbies, are you overbearing in them? Do you do them to a fault? Is the hobby that you have, is it taking too much time, too much money, too much energy away from your home? And away from your children? You know, we can be drunk on hobbies. We can get out of balance. We can get so out of balance that the hobby is all we want to do. And every time we get a loose moment, we work on the hobby. And if that be the case, then our wife and our family suffers, and all of our loved ones suffer. Now, maturity won't let you do that. Maturity demands that we set priorities, doesn't it? I've known of men who hunted all the time, every loose moment they had. And their family suffered. And that's not right. Now, if that's what you're talking about, she complains about your hobbies, you need to change. You need to set some priorities there. Financial considerations, of course, are important. And they must be examined. And, of course, you can't put the Lord second. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. So don't let these things get away from your thinking and from your prioritization. And from handling them in the right way. Sixth of all, the survey says that husbands complain that wives are sloven in their appearance. You know, it's peculiar how beautiful a wife can look when she's in courtship and how much she changes when she's in marriage. Once she's served the I do, sometimes she doesn't. And we need to be careful about our appearance, and wives need to know that they don't cease to be attractive to their husband just because they're married. And they shouldn't cease to work at that. Wives, take a hard look at yourselves in that mirror. Would you want to be around somebody as sloven as you are? You know, it is just simply not the case that we're using good wisdom sometimes in that. Your looks contributed to your courtship. And your looks, of course, then very careful, very neatly done. And then after marriage, don't contribute to your continued unhappiness by being sloven. Wives, of course, should strive to be like Rachel. You know, Genesis 29, verse 17, it says, Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And that's, of course, what keeps the love in marriage, is that you're beautiful, you're well-favored, and your husband wants you to look good. Your husband wants you to be attractive to him. And if you're not attractive to him, you can't blame him for not being like he should be or like you would want him to be. We ought to take pride in our personal appearance, don't you think? We ought to take more pride than what we do sometimes, and all can be attractive. It's not that hard. We should strive to be as attractive as possible to our mate. Jeremiah 2:32, I think, is an important verse. He said, Can a virgin forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Well, there are some virgins who forget their ornaments, but not many. They used to have a ring on every finger, don't they? They have to bracelet it on every arm and probably their ankles. They've just got bracelets and adornment all over them. And you never will get a bride to forget what she wore in her wedding. She may forget her husband's name, but she's not going to forget that dress she had on. And so that's all true, but do we forget to be attractive to our mate? Learn to dress with an eye to please your husband, not everybody else. Really doesn't matter about others. If your husband likes your hair long, wear it long. If he likes it short, wear it short. You know, that obligation, because of your love and your trust and interest in him, may indeed make the difference. Husbands are one away. They're one away, oftentimes, from one who is sloven in appearance. Not right, no, but it's a fact. It is truly a fact. And it's said of a worthy woman in Proverbs 31:22, her clothing is fine linen and purple. In other words, she strives to look nice. She wants to look that which would be in harmony with what her husband is in need of. Of course, inner beauty is most important. There is no doubt about that. A woman professing godliness is far more beautiful than one who puts on the rouge and the lipstick. And strong devotion ought to be there, though, that would cause a woman to want a dress to please her husband. Now, these husbands make a complaint, ladies. May be true, may not be true, but you need to check it, don't you? Proverbs 31:30 says, Grace is beautiful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth Jehovah, she shall be praised. Sloven dress is actually immodest. Sloven dress is not what we ought to have. It shows a lack of pride, doesn't it? It shows a lack of consideration for our mate. So maybe the husbands are to be answered in this thing. And you know, if a husband is ashamed of his wife, he don't want to be seen with her. He doesn't like to be seen because she's a poor example of Christianity too. You know, in 1 Peter the 3rd chapter and verse 7, Peter, of course, is talking here to husbands and wives, and he says, Likewise, ye husbands, ye dwell with them, the wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Here, husbands are taught to be faithful, to care, to be tender toward their wives as weaker vessels, and that they are mutual partners in the heirship of heaven. And they need to remember that, and the grace of life. And you don't want your prayers to be hindered. Your prayers can be hindered. When you don't treat your wife right, or the wife doesn't treat her husband right, then prayer certainly can be hindered. So if slovenness is that which is keeping the husband from loving the wife as he should, the wife needs to know that. She needs to make some changes there. Survey says, number 7, that wife is ill-tempered, quick-tempered, easy to fly off the handle, in other words. Well, husband, again, ask and answer the questions that you might need to ask and answer about this. First of all, are we as husbands patient and loving and long-suffering with our wives? Maybe that's the reason she's short-tempered. Maybe it's that we aren't very peaceful and kind to her. You know, it is not hard to know when we've said the wrong thing, is it? We can see that right quick. We know when that wife, when her attitude changes, when her facial looks change, and we know we said the wrong thing. But maybe it's because we aren't trying as hard as we should. And I want to know, too, does that wife work outside the home? And when she comes home tired and stressed, do you sit down in front of the TV and not help with the children? Do you not help with any of the dishes or any of the cooking or anything? Are you expected that she should be the workhorse and you just be the lazy horse? You know, if we take our place in the marriage as we should, we'll share the work. And we ought to understand that that might be the reason she's short-tempered. Maybe she's worn out. And we need to consider her size. And a wise husband, of course, does consider her side, and a wise wife considers her husband's side. Remember that communication is important. Three things are important in marriage. Communication, communication, and communication. So don't forget that. Very, very important. But then objection number 8, the wife interferes with my discipline of the children. Now this is a difficult problem too, and husbands won't put up with that as a general rule for very long. Very unwise for your marriage and for your children to interfere with the discipline. Now, it may be that that husband is getting too upset, maybe he's overbearing with the children, but that's not the time for you to discuss that in front of the children. Be that in private. That's the place to discuss these things, and any disagreement that you may have, even about disciplining the children, should be in private, never before the children. The reason being, the children will play one parent against the other. They'll do it every time. They're going to try to see what they can get away with, and if they find one parent on top of another there in opposition to each other, the children will quickly play both sides. Wives need to remember again that the husband's the head of the house. But she also needs to remember that if things are not as they should, privately should be the place to talk about it. And husbands, Colossians 3 says, be not bitter towards your wife. Love your wife. Be not bitter toward her. Sometimes after a few years, it seems, the husband becomes quite bitter against the wife. Ladies, let's follow the advice of the man Manoah too. Judges 13:12, you know. He asked, what shall be the order of the child? And how shall we do unto him? Now, when people go to the Father in heaven and say, how shall we do with the child? How shall we do unto him? Previous to the birth of the child, we ought to lay the foundation for a solid home before that child's ever born. And we need to decide what kind of discipline that child's going to have. And parents would be very wise to do that. But we must pass on. Survey says, number 9, that the wife is conceited. The husband says she's conceited. She is proud and arrogant. She has presumption, and she, of course, is doing things, if she's doing that, that are condemned completely by the Bible. Proverbs 6, you know, the Lord said 6 things the Lord hates, yea, 7, are an abomination in His sight. Here they are. Number 1, a proud look. A proud look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that are swift to run to mischief. And a false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among brethren. What's the number 1? A proud look. You know some people, you know, are proud. You can look at them and tell. They look like if you punched them with a pen, they'd pop. They are so proud they could strut sitting down. So there are some wives that maybe are pride, presumptuous, presumption has entered in, and that, of course, should not be. No one ought to live in vanity or in an exaggerated thought about themselves. That's what pride is, isn't it? The Lord was humble, Philippians 2, verses 3 through 9. And Paul rejoiced in the title of servant. You know, some wives don't want to be servants. Some husbands don't want to be servants. They don't want to work. But we must. And liberated women, of course, hate the term servant. But Satan, of course, wants a whining woman. He'd like to have you whine. He would like to have you complain, push your agenda for women's lib. But godly women do not seek positions of prominence over their husbands. They don't seek the position of power above the men. In fact, 2 Timothy 2:12 forbids it. I forbid a woman to usurp authority, Paul said, over the man. Remember that, because many women think of themselves today more highly than they ought to think. And then, 10th of all, husbands say that wives are insincere. Now, evidently, love and trust are missing here if that husband thinks of that wife as being insincere. She may not be as insincere as he thinks, but if he thinks that, you better get that fixed. Because until you present yourself as being true to your word, upright, you know, sincere means tried or proven in the sunshine, where nothing is hidden. And so, this is not a hypocritical thing that we need to have in marriage for sure. You're not an actor. If you're just acting, if you're not genuine, then of course that's what he means by insincere. You're just playing a part. But you're not real. And that just will not last. That cannot make the marriage what it ought to be. How sad it is that husbands and wives have not lived to trust and build trust. You know, once you lose that trust, it's hard to ever rebuild it. But it can be done. And it needs to be done. Miserable existence it is for those who have no love and trust. I don't really understand what any married person would do without it. I know for my home, if we didn't have the trust there, if we didn't have the love there, it would be a very difficult situation. And indeed, it can be at your house. Brother Foy Wallace, Jr., Many of you know his name, but after 65 years of marriage, he made one of the most beautiful statements about marriage that I've ever seen or heard. He said, "True marriage is not an experiment, nor is it a mere physical attraction, but it is a union of mind and an affinity of heart. So the toils of time and the beauty of youth may fade from the cheek and the gleam of luster from the eye, but if the minds are united and the hearts are wedded, every wrinkle in the face becomes a beauty spot, and every furrow an ornament as we travel together the pathway of life unto life's little golden day." Remember, your mate ought to be your best friend, and you ought to be loyal, loving, and faithful to that mate. And of course, you probably won't have these complaints made, as the survey has shown, about husbands' complaints against wives. I hope this has been of help to you, and I certainly wouldn't present it in any other desire except that it might help. And if you want to know, you know now. So you need to check perhaps these things and be sure that you as wives are not guilty of those things which the husbands are complaining about.